What's up, you guys? I'm John. This is Johnny.
What's up?
And we're here with Talk About That.
We're back, guys.
We are back. Johnny's been on a hiatus.
Yeah, which is the Greek god of unemployment. Is it not?
Is that what comedians, it's like, is that like your patron god?
Yeah, or, like hiatus.
I'm glad we jumped right into idolatry. That was good.
It was a little g. It's fine.
Yeah.
Guys, mythology.
Yeah, so you've been on the road.
I have, and you did a podcast without me.
I did two podcasts without you.
Oh, that's upsetting.
I tried to call you last week, and you didn't answer.
You don't need me at all.
No, still need you. Laura did a great job.
Yeah,
you need to go listen to it. I get the impression you haven't. And
I heard good things about the one with Allie for sure.
Oh, wow.
Like my wife's sister listens to the podcast some, and she said to tell Allie that she's really like doing amazing work. And she really wished there'd been something like that around when she had her child because she had some postpartum issues. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Allie did do a great job. It was awesome.
Yep.
We've had a lot of feedback on the episode. So if you haven't listened, go back. Was it be three episodes and listen to the one with Allie Oswald Thayer. So on PPD, on postpartum depression. It was good. Johnny, we're attacking the issues, bro, here. We're hitting the stuff that the news wants to skip over. It was just waiting on a voice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Actually,
it was waiting on me to go away so you could have a real substantial guest.
No, not at all. Not at all. We're glad you're back. I hope you had a good time. You've been in Florida, among other places.
I was in Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida.
And then Macon, Georgia.
Mm.
And then
Macon'sville.
Lakeland. Stop it. Lakeland, Florida. And then now I'm back, and now I'm leaving for Greensboro tomorrow. I'm gone 6 days.
Where the heck is Greensboro?
It's right in the path of Florence.
Oh, dear.
No, I think it skipped around, but they got some heavy rain for sure.
Did you get rain in Jacksonville?
No, it totally missed Jacksonville.
Really?
It was sunny weather. It was fun, and I stayed at a friend's house, and it was amazing. He's got this house on the Intercoastal Waterway, and he's got a nice boat and jet skis, and we hung out and played for a couple days.
Wow.
While I had my show there, but we stayed at his house.
Well, that sounds like a blast.
He's a lovely home.
Yeah. I'm really glad you got
He's doing okay. He didn't get into comedy. Let's just put it that way. He made better choices.
So, but you've been doing keto, right?
I've been on keto, and I cheated a little bit with that. I cheated some while I was there.
But it's all seafood. You could have eaten seafood, right?
Yeah, but I don't really like... I like shrimp.
Yeah.
Breaded shrimp. fried shrimp.
Yeah. So not keto.
No, but I'd been going like 18 days strong.
Well, you had to quit that mess.
And so I thought, well, can I get back on? That's the key, is like once you're out of what's called ketosis, then you're just like, well, it's over.
Would you say that you're the ketosis with the mostest?
I would not say that. I would say when you're in ketosis, you're really craving a Hostess, like one of those, some of those snack cakes.
Right, like a little Debbie.
Not like a woman who seats you at your table. That's
right.
A different.
That's
I don't crave that.
No.
I'm so loud in my own ears.
Well, Johnny, isn't that been true your whole life, though?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Have you ever thought
this
that
is
when
this
you're,
episode on your narcissism?
Have you ever thought that when you're
so
eating,
loud in my
when you're
own
eating
ears.
Like in a movie theater, you're like, is the crunching outside my head this loud? Because this is unsettling.
when I sit at the table, I can hear my daughter, like totally eating something crunchy. Like it is loud. Like it's in my head. I don't know, man. Sometimes people, there's some people I think that maybe, I don't know if the.
You think she's doing it to unnerve you?
No, I don't think she's aware of me at all.
Oh.
I'm not even sure she knows I'm sitting there. So most of the time, kids, Johnny.
True.
So you ate a lot of bread is what you're saying.
I ate bread. I ate some hush puppies, which you can't have. That's a fried cornbread fritter.
Right, that is completely the opposite of ketosis.
Ironically enough, you can have real puppies on the keto diet because it's just meat. You can have all the real puppies that you want. Just grill them. But you can't have the hush kind.
Well, I mean, they are hushed.
Once
took care of it.
Once you hit them with a brick, put them on the grill.
It's dark.
I'm sorry. I didn't hit a puppy.
No, and we do not condone the eating of puppies.
Have you noticed that, though, like when they say any diet pill or whatever they say, some new program, any infomercial, they'll say, so-and-so, you lose this much more weight when combined with diet and exercise. Well, if you combine anything with diet and exercise, right. You know what I'm saying?
It's like that's been the problem the whole time.
Right. If you can combine space travel with diet and exercise, you're going to lose more weight.
Like, I mean, all I want to combine my diet pill with is water. Like, yeah. That's what, I just want to swallow it, and then I want to go eat what I want.
Yeah, so. Magic bullet. Well, they have that pill. Remember that pill came out, like, a few years ago?
The magic bullet?
No, it was the one called, what was it called? And it caused you not to absorb the fat. What was it called? Ally.
Oh, dear.
And basically, the fat comes out. It just is set aside. It doesn't get absorbed by your system. So what you do is you just pass fat. If you eat a fatty meal on that pill, in other words, don't sneeze hard. Let me just say that. It's what I've heard. Don't, unless you want to change pants.
That's the grossest thing I've
heard. I'm telling you, that's how it works. But it's one of those things where it's almost like supposed to be a preventative, like, oh, I can't eat this because it's going to be bad later. But I don't think it really stopped people from. Wow. They're like, I'm not going to absorb all the fat from this. So I'm just going to have all the, and then they would, you know.
What happened to that pill? Is it still available?
I think so.
Okay. Not a sponsor, though.
I don't hear about it anymore. It was called two different things, but I think one of them was Ally. Well. A-L-L-Y. But anyway, yeah, there's no magic bullet, turns out. But this diet's the closest thing as far as you can really lose weight if you cut carbs because your body burns fat instead of the sugar that you're eating every day.
And, yeah.
But then it's hard to – you get a little – the cravings are a little bit weird. But I'm better now. And I've lost like 18 pounds as of today.
So when you came off of ketosis, though.
Mm-hmm. I was able to get back on. I was off for 2 days.
What was your gain?
Oh, I didn't look. I didn't have a scale near me.
So you don't carry a scale with you?
No. And then when I came back home, I had been back on for 2 days. And I was like, if I'm just broke even, I'm good.
Were you even?
And I was even.
Well,
and then today I was down 3 more pounds.
Wow.
So
that's
I'm
awesome.
Back in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor.
Hey, listen, I got you a present.
You did?
I did. And I've been holding it for this
You're holding moment. Your phone. What are you?
I'm about to text you a present.
Really?
You have your phone on you?
I got it right here.
All right. This is going to happen right now. Here we go. In 3, 2, here comes your present.
What is it?
Did you not get it yet?
No.
Oh, now we got to wait on AT&T.
Got it. Hold on. I got to open my phone. Looking.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I was getting ready to give you a hard time. Because you've done the podcast without me twice, and I was like, well, you may as well, because I'm not even on the I'm not on the logo.
So they would have already seen that there's a new logo. Johnny has not seen it till now, that finally has both
who
of
did,
our
who
faces.
Who did the artwork
Jeffrey
on
did
it?
Jeffrey did it.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, who probably doesn't listen to the podcast. Do you think he listens?
Oh, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Jeffrey's my man.
Jeffrey and Allie listen a lot, yeah.
Jeffrey's my man. You know what?
I want to point out something, by the way.
Go ahead.
So I don't really have that much hair anymore.
No.
Because I've taken it down to the shadow.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're staring straight at my head with a smirk on your face.
Like
it's almost as if.
Like that's a toupee.
Right. Like that's
like
not real.
Like I'm spotting
that's
a toupee.
Not there anymore.
I would never be so judgmental. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's great that you're doing. What are you calling it? A shadow?
It's a shadow.
It's a shadow.
Shadow. It's very mysterious.
It's like a Sergeant Carter. Remember from Gomer Pyle?
Well, he had hair, though. That was a flat top.
Oh, okay.
No, this is a shadow. You whisper it.
You think you're a superhero now? I don't think so.
I am the shadow.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're about to say something about Jeffrey, I think.
I would just like to say that when I started doing comedy, Jeffrey was such a big deal. He helped me have more confidence in the things I was writing because he would put art with it. I'd have a dumb idea, and I used a lot of slides in my earlier shows. Like, there was artwork all behind me. There would be things going up behind me.
Right.
And I would just send him a thing that said, like, hey, can you make this? And he would do it. Like, I had this one bit. I was talking about how when you hear songs, you hear certain lyrics, but it's not the right lyrics.
Right.
And one of them was, the answer, my friends, is blowing in the wind. You know, blowing in the wind,
right.
That song. It's a folk song. But I heard, like, the ants are my friends. So I said, I sent him a text, like, at midnight. I had a show the next day. I said, hey, can you Photoshop me in a field holding hands with a gigantic ant?
You know, like you do.
Yeah, and I mean, after him saying, how many drinks have you had, he made it for me, and it was a funny, I don't think we've used it since, but it was a funny thing. And I just thought, when he did that, and he pulled it off, I thought, I'm not going to ever make this person mad, because he has power to make me look really foolish. He can put me anywhere he wants. He could Photoshop me into any compromising position. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
I know of one thing that you did with Jeffrey Holland that we are not allowed to talk about on this podcast. We will not be talking about that.
No.
But if I wanted to destroy you, I bet you I could.
No, there's no way. I'm not known enough to destroy.
It would be so offensive. You know what I'm talking
about. I know what you're talking about. We're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about it.
Jeffrey and I have weird... Jeffrey's...
Because it would destroy him too, though, because he's with you.
Jeffrey has such an interesting sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. It's very
anytime I see something very random and strange, I always think of him and I always want to send it to him because I just know exactly what will make him laugh. I mean, it's always something that like 5 out of 10 people would just be like, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's great.
Yeah. He's got a very, his mind is very brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and I was in meetings one today. I mean,
he's great.
Yeah. He's funny. He's awesome.
But I miss what I was going to say about him. When we started out, he would travel with me some because he was single and he was in his early 20s and it was just like, hey, let's go to here. I'll give you $100. Go to Iowa with me.
Yeah.
Cause I was making a few $100 myself. And I was like, but I want you to go because I need your help with the show. Because we had so many slides in the show, I needed help.
Yep.
Because I didn't trust the sound man. So he would go with me.
Because it was a part of the timing of the joke.
Right, right. Yeah, and Jeffrey knew the jokes. And so, and he had a real sense for comedy. And so the first shows I did without him, I felt really like naked up there. And part of it is because I was naked. It was a new bit I was working on. And it did not go well at all.
Did not get invited back.
No. That church did not. Those Church of Christ people are angry. Brian Bates, my buddy Brian Bates, has a bit about growing up in a really conservative. He goes, my church is real conservative. Like even, what do you say? Even the men can't wear pants. That's such a funny joke.
That's great.
Anyway, a shout out to Jeffrey Holland, who also directed my special.
Oh.
My comedy special live at the Franklin Theater, which is now on Amazon Prime. I think you talked about that.
I did, John.
In a podcast that I did not listen to, but I know that you mentioned it.
I didn't just mention
it. I listened for myself, and once I wasn't mentioned in the first, I was like, I got stuff to do.
But honestly, when you saw the huge spike on whatever it is you see in views, then you knew I'd impacted.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't see.
I don't see it.
What were we talking about right before this? Oh, we were talking about a certain furniture store that shall remain nameless.
It rhymes with Mashley Home Furniture.
We've been waiting for 6 weeks for my mom's bedroom. Ashley. And you were like, are you going to take to the airwaves and like just destroy them?
Crush them with your power.
I have enormous influence in this culture.
It's not going to work out.
No. And I'm not going to do that to them.
They're going to be fine. It's like all those times when Christians would boycott things.
Like Disney.
You went through that. The Satan scare and everything. Everything was a... Whatever the American Family Association came out and said in a fax that was sent to our parents.
Yep.
This is before email.
In a fax.
So you'd get a fax that would just say, these companies are supporting things that are anti-family. And then my mom would just go on a tear and all of a sudden we weren't going to drink Pepsi anymore or whatever. And I didn't like Pepsi, so it was fine. And I never went to Disney either. So we went to Dollywood because it was close. So she loved Dolly. What's Dolly ever done? She's a family-oriented person. Isn't she? I don't know. Maybe. She's the book thing. So
has a book thing. Yeah.
Book club.
Yeah.
That's Oprah. Children. What does she do?
Wait, Dolly does the books for children.
What's it called, though? In the Imagination
Dolly's
Station?
Dolly's Imagination Library.
Oh, God.
That's what it is.
Imagination Station's a lot better.
Imagination Station.
It rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, it does. Hey, listen, speaking of Florida.
We weren't.
Oh, sorry.
Dolly.
Yeah, but earlier.
Okay.
It's time.
Okay.
We've held off for
14. I thought it was Georgia week.
We've held off for 14 minutes and 19 seconds before talking about this.
24-0 we beat.
That would be UTEP.
That team was hammered by UNLV the week before.
I don't mean.
It's time to sound the alarm.
Hey. UTEP may or may not have the worst record in college football. Longest current losing streak.
Are you ready to admit that this team might be really bad?
Does it require me admitting that? Isn't
well, but
it
you're
obvious?
Very, you can be very myopic as a fan.
Wow.
Let me just say that.
If I knew what myopic meant, I'd be really offended right now. Listen, I think that mm-hmm. there are glimpses.
Yeah.
And they haven't put it all together. I think that we're majorly in trouble on the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think our pass rush is subpar. Mm-hmm. And I feel like because our pass rush is subpar, mm-hmm. that the secondary is compromised. Mm. Because since you're not putting any pressure on the quarterback, he has all day. And your guys are out there running around like it's two-hand touch out there waiting to get open. And our guys can't stick with him. So, now listen, all that being said,
right.
under the lights at night mm-hmm. at Neyland against a Florida team that also is not that good from what I've watched.
They look pretty rough.
Yeah.
But they always put it together against us, and you know it.
Oh, you mean when Felipe Franks threw that 60-yard bomb on the last play last year?
We make them look like world beaters all the time.
Well, Johnny, it's still a—
I know that I'm always the naysayer. I don't mean to be, John. I'm just trying to be the realist.
But we're fans.
Yeah.
Like, when do you believe in your team? Do I need to remind you of the Cub fan analogy?
No.
I mean,
care.
You're just a Cubs fan now. Like, you just—
I root for the Cubs when they were cursed, and now I want them to go away. Same with Boston. Like, when Boston hadn't won anything for years, like 80-something years.
Right.
And now they've won, like, you know, three of the last six, and they're insufferable.
Yeah.
Like, the Red Sox are the worst.
Yeah, but see, we haven't won anything.
Yeah.
Like, give us a break. It's been 20 years.
I was thinking about that with the Apple keynote, because they keep bringing out these products, Apple 10, now it's the Max. The phone it's as big as a laptop. I don't know what people are carrying around. Who are these? What kind of meaty hands do you have that you can carry this phone around? What is
the size of your pocket?
Apple iPhone XS Max? What is happening?
Oh, man.
Who are these mutant? Who is carrying? Thanos? Who's carrying this phone? Anyway, I was thinking about that because they can't do anything with a phone anymore that is groundbreaking. It's always just like, well, now it's faster. It's got a better processor.
Right.
There's no new features that we really need anymore. And I think it's like the Vols fans, okay? These Apple enthusiasts, and I'm one of them. I'm in because we're sucked in. We are Apple people.
We're way too far in to go back now.
That's the Vols here's the other parallel. We're still obsessed with someone who did something in 1998. They had a big breakthrough in 98.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, but this was the—
this feels like 98.
Because that's when Steve Jobs came back, 97-ish, was mm-hmm. when he was brought back after being fired. Then he turned—
are you saying that Steve Jobs is the reason that Tennessee won the
Steve
national championship?
Jobs is Philip Fulmer?
Right.
No.
Have you ever seen him in the same place at the same time?
I haven't.
Come on now.
Do you think if, like, something really went wrong on the floor of the factory that he clapped, even though it was obvious, like, you shouldn't be clapping for this. Remember Fulmer used to do that? We'd fumble and he'd be off to the side clapping. You'd be like, why are you clapping?
That was a bad play, Coach.
Yell at the people.
Let me tell you something. Did you see Pruitt get up in that dude's face last week?
Uh-uh.
You didn't watch the game.
I watched some of it. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
The kid was kind of looking away while he was talking to him.
Right.
He straight up grabbed the sides of his helmet and got up in his face.
But where's the line where it becomes Bobby Knight territory? Can you grab kids by the head?
I don't know. I was wondering about that.
You loved it,
the
evidently.
Thing about
You're
Bobby,
like, yeah.
The thing about Bobby Knight was the kids weren't wearing helmets. So
you think it's okay?
Well, they are.
Because nobody gets concussions if they're wearing helmets. Everybody knows that.
Well,
oh, wait.
Not from a guy.
It's the scourge of the entire sport.
That's from, like, full speed collisions with other dudes.
Yeah.
This dude's standing there.
Right.
I don't know if I agree with
you.
You
think
not.
Him grabbing this kid by the head is totally fine?
I think
it shows fire?
I think we're so desperate that we're mm-hmm. just happy when anything happens.
Yeah.
We're just like, you know what? Look at that. Something happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, we just want something to happen.
I do.
Is it so much to ask that something would just happen?
Well, if something's going to happen,
I mean,
it's going to— I don't know if it's going to be good.
The quarterback looks good. The running backs look great. The offensive yeah. line looked like my 8-year-old daughter, who's now 10, if that lets you know anything.
Wow.
And then, I don't know.
She skipped a year? Is it like the iPhone?
No,
remember
saying,
that the iPhone went from 8 to X?
Oh, my gosh.
Coincidence?
Maybe.
Possibly?
Possibly. It's just, I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted that we'd lose by 6.
To Florida.
And you know what? The Vegas odds are, I think it's 5.
Why are you looking at Vegas odds, John?
I wasn't. I just saw it in a tweet. Mm-hmm. So,
Mm-hmm. Also, a tweet that also, follows Vegas odds. A tweet that keeps up with my degenerate gambling.
Listen,
John,
Johnny.
Everything in moderation, bro. Whatever you got to do.
I can tell you this.
Just crying to me when Sadie needs milk money because they're papaw. Not papaw. You're not the papaw. You're the pappy. Because you wasted money on the Vols because you're so, like, you're such a fan. You're like, my God, you're going to win.
This is the year.
Yeah, listen, it's not the year.
No, it's not the year. If we beat Florida.
Six wins? What do you think?
Six wins would be a miracle.
Yeah.
Like, here's the deal. We've won two. We have one more.
Georgia's a loss. Alabama's a loss. Florida's probably a loss.
Auburn's a loss.
Auburn. Oh, I forgot we're playing Auburn. We're not playing LSU, though, are we?
No, but
they look good.
But Kentucky just beat, by the way, Kentucky just beat Florida. Let's not remember it. Forget that.
Right.
Or remember it. Whatever. And so Kentucky beat us last year. And Vanderbilt just almost
beat
Notre Dame over the
weekend.
There's no
easy wins on the schedule anymore.
Except I think we play Charlotte or somebody for homecoming. So we could go 3-8. That's a possibility. Or 3-9. How many games are there? I wasn't paying attention.
I don't know, John.
Or
they keep adding games.
We could go 6-6, or we could beat Florida, get our confidence up. Georgia comes in, or I think we go to Georgia.
Right. Are you for an 18 playoff or a 14?
I'm going to tell you why I'm for an 18 playoff.
Because you're against the extra days of class for these kids. Let's get these kids out of class and get them on the football field where they belong.
Listen, Johnny.
Is that what your position is?
Nothing to do with that. Here's what bothers me.
Oh, boy.
You have five power conferences and four teams let in.
Right.
Someone's always going to have something to cry foul about.
Yeah.
Always. And I just think it's ridiculous. Why not do eight teams, put the champion from all five power conferences? Those are like five automatic bids.
Yeah.
You win your conference, you are in there, okay? And then you pick the best other three teams, either from another conference or the second place in those. And in that scenario, no one gets – I mean, it's just dumb. If UCF is undefeated, well,
give them a shot.
You know what I'm saying?
Put them in. It would have been a good year for that.
Yeah.
To see what they really had.
And you're talking about a couple more games. It's not like that. Oh, my gosh. I mean, how long do we not have a playoff at all? I think that they act like it's so complicated. Like,
it's the money. There's nothing we can do.
We can't change this time-honored tradition.
It's politics and money.
They did exactly what I said they should do for years and years and years. Guys, make the bowl games playoff games.
So you're saying they finally listen to you?
No.
What they're afraid of is making the other bowl games insignificant.
The other bowl games are already insignificant.
Yeah,
and the only reason people watch them is because their teams are in the game.
Eventually, they're going to make the regular season insignificant because it's going to be like, eh.
But did you think the regular season NFL is insignificant?
No.
Well, what's the difference there, big guy?
Well, some of those.
No.
I don't know, John. It's fine.
That reminds me. Do you want to tell that story?
What story?
Remember the phone story?
Uh-uh.
The brick phone. You left your phone. You used to lose it all the time.
I used to lose my phone all the time. This is when I had a big Nextel phone. If you don't know what a Nextel phone was, it was a phone that had a walkie-talkie feature on it, and it was huge, and it was like the big construction size phone. Anyway, I would leave my phone places, and I would drive off with it on the roof of the car.
Yep.
Or on the back of the trailer hitch or wherever.
Yep.
We're headed to a show somewhere a few miles from the church. We're loading up. We pull off and we get halfway down the road. I'm with our bass player and you call him. It's like, give Johnny the phone. And I go, hello. You go, where's your phone, genius? I go, you go, wrong. You had already, we pulled through a parking lot somewhere. You saw it fall off.
No, I didn't.
I thought you saw it fall off.
Some random stranger found it, and mine was the last number you had called, and they called me.
Hilarious. And you went back and got it for me.
Yeah.
So funny. And it was like 10 minutes. It never fell into traffic.
It's unbelievable.
It would always fall to like a safe place.
Like fall into somebody's lap.
Yeah.
On the side
and they'd
of the
be
road.
Like, oh, and it was always like a good Samaritan, not somebody would steal you. Because back then, phones weren't something that were valuable enough to steal.
Did you see the story about the dude in New York who found a purse with $10,000 in cash in it and turned it in?
Yeah. I want to know what was really in it, though. Like, they'd be like, okay, $50,000. If I give $10,000.
Surely it had ID.
I wonder whose money it was.
They would have known, though, because
who carries around $10,000 cash, though? Ask yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's some shady.
She's not coming forward.
Well, that's why it would be easy to do some voodoo on it with, you know, like, oh, I'll keep.
Right. You're like, this money's already dirty. Yeah. I might as well make it clean by making good purchases.
That's...
Is that how...
Is this Breaking Bad? This is already... You're laundering it. No, I would turn in the money. I'm pretty honest as a person, generally speaking. I feel weird if I... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't even like... I don't even feel good about not tipping if the wait staff's bad. I feel like, oh, yeah, but...
Right, I feel like, well, you know, Christianity would say I should tip more.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're having a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We're just good people, John.
No one can deny that, Johnny.
It's true.
We're not good people. That's the thing. No, it's okay. It's very, it's very... I used to think I was honest.
Did you?
I did. I used to think I was extremely, extremely honest, and I began realizing that those there are these like things I do that aren't bold-faced lies,
but deceptions.
But they're deceptions to make me look better.
Oh, right.
Or to
okay.
keep or to keep somebody from being disappointed in me.
Yeah, so, I definitely think I've told lies to people to avoid conflict, but not like lies that are like big lies, but almost like. You just don't want to fight with that person, so you just want to drop it, so you say everything's okay when you know it's not, or those yeah. kind of things.
Yeah, mine, the big one is, like, today, like, I'm late to meet you to shoot the podcast, and when you start texting me, why are you late, or whatever.
Like, well, I said, why the delay? I didn't
you were
say,
like, I forget, well, I think you
what's
had
your
some,
deal?
There were some expletives.
I didn't say
I don't remember what I said exactly.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, it's really easy for me to, right then, to cover.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on my way. You know, I want to say
right.
something that's
leaving
really
now.
Not completely true.
Because
the truth was, I was at Five Guys with the church staff, and I still had to run to my house.
I thought you guys were getting lunch from Schmoopty Pop now.
Well, it turns out,
Jason's
Johnny,
Deli.
Today is National Hamburger Day.
That's
what Jeffrey said. And it was Jason Payne's birthday. So
oh.
so we everybody went to Five Guys, and now I'm the size of Five Guys.
Because you invited me to lunch with you guys. I'm glad I didn't come because I definitely would have
You could have ketoed out over there.
Are you kidding me?
We had two ladies who ate out of like bowls.
Those French fries there?
Yeah, you got to skip the fries. There's no way around. Those are going to hurt you.
Those are lying.
And they literally soak the bag in grease. Like the people don't soak the bag in grease.
No.
Putting the fries in the bag soaks it with grease once it comes through. So
this is what they do. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, who need a new bag soaker?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either. But yeah. I'm trying to get off sodas, but it's too hard. That's the only thing I can have. You can have, like, sugar substitutes on this diet.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would just fiend for sugar all
it's
the time.
It's time for you to start drinking coffee.
No.
It would be such a great thing for you.
I don't think
People
so.
Who drink coffee live longer. Do you know that?
John, I don't want to live longer. I don't know how to tell you this.
We got done today, and I go, guys.
Whatever this, my number is, it's
like,
good.
This meal probably took a month off of our lives. You know,
no.
But what's another month? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're 89 or whatever, it's still a big deal, actually. I'd like that.
Yeah.
I can have that month back. But Five Guys, bro, they just...
But it's a month off the end. Like, the end of your life's not great.
It could take a month out of right now, depending on the condition of your arteries and stuff. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can I tell you? I can tell you all my month at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good...
Like, at the end when you're not even, like, coherent...
Yeah.
Who needs that month?
Like, bring
I'm glad,
me a burger
you're
then.
Like, I'm glad I had that burger.
Yeah.
That's what you'll say to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I'm glad I had that burger.
Bring me my burger and bring me my teeth because I'm going to eat it right here.
Yeah. So, and my, yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
Right.
Speaking of, by the way,
oh,
I had a listener come to me and talk to me about whether or not we should have been calling people ugly on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I said,
Who do we call ugly?
Who do we call ugly? And he said that we were talking about Abraham Lincoln.
He's defending Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah. Like we were talking about how like presidents
yeah.
might be ugly but
oh,
successful.
Right.
So like ugly people can – so then we just started talking about, you know,
like,
ugly people
a good looking
still,
president's more likely to be elected
yeah.
or whatever.
And I was like, you know, and at first I kind of laughed it off and I was like, you know, I said, okay, if we crossed any of those lines, you know, then I don't know. I said,
who
to
do
me,
we apologize to exactly?
Well, exactly. I was like, to me –
Abraham Lincoln?
It's like calling Santa Claus fat or something. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like somebody who's 200 years ago.
Right.
It's just, he's not 200 years ago, but if who's 150.
What do you know? You don't really know your history.
He's 168.
Well, he looks great for his age.
I just don't know. Like, I don't
oh,
know.
What? I mean,
maybe
just
acknowledging beauty or lack thereof is
yeah.
a thing. Is that, I don't know. Maybe
By
it
the
really
way, did
is.
You look up? I was right about him being a bare knuckle. Wrestler and boxer.
You looked it out?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true.
So
and he had an undefeated record.
Wow, you're kidding.
Mm-hmm. No, not kidding.
But, I mean, do we acknowledge? I don't know. So here's the deal. If you're offended at all that we called Abraham Lincoln.
I wouldn't just, like, look at a dude and say that's an ugly guy. But, it, like, there are presidents who are better looking than other presidents. It's empirical. Maybe by the standards of the day.
Maybe Abraham Lincoln's wife thought he was, I mean, absolutely stunning.
Maybe.
I mean, a handsome devil.
Right.
I don't know.
That Mary Todd.
I tell you what.
She.
Sally Field, by the way.
Yeah.
Playing Mary Todd Lincoln.
I've never seen it.
Johnny W.
I've not seen the Daniel Day-Lewis movies just feel like it's an investment in my time.
Oh, gosh.
I just know it's going to be 3 hours and it's going to be so intense. Johnny. All of his movies are so intense.
Why? I don't know if you ever heard of the Civil War. It was pretty intense, too. Sorry that you can't give 3 hours of your time after people gave their lives for 5 years. You know
are
what?
You, is this an example of brother versus brother? Because you just turned on me.
Dude, you need to go see Lincoln.
Oh.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I don't think you go see it anymore.
You can go see it in your bedroom on Netflix or whatever.
Do I have to get dressed up?
Come on, babe.
Come on. It's going to be great. No, John. I'm good.
You don't want to see Lincoln.
No. It's going to be... Isn't there like an embellishment stuff in there, too? You know there is. There's license.
Well, it's not a documentary, if that's what you mean.
Was it Oliver Stone? Who did it?
I don't remember who did Lincoln.
Because you can't trust Oliver Stone movies. They're always just so...
I don't think it was Oliver Stone.
He's all...
Gosh, I'm going to have to look it up now. Who produced...
I think it was Oliver, but it could be not. I don't know what it was.
Listen, the thing about it is, some of the... Now, this is probably the part you... I don't know. You might not like it as much, but... Dude, when he is sitting, Steven Spielberg, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's he ever done?
Yeah. And it's 2 hours and 29 minutes.
Yeah.
Listen.
What did I say about it being a long time? Those are long movies.
But I'm going to tell you something.
Daniel Day-Lewis is intense. You know, he's retiring.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It's because, I'm telling you, you talk about your hamburger taken. I think his intensity took years off of his career.
You think so?
Because he just gets, he's one of those guys that goes all in. He's a method actor.
Right.
So he gets into the character so much that he's hard to be around. That's what I've heard. Like if he's playing a jerk, he kind of embodies right. that. And it's too intense for people. And I think it's hurt him. And I think that's why he's retiring young.
Wow.
But I mean, who knows? Maybe he just wants to spend more time with his family. Now I've impugned his character. Somebody going to send us another email? How dare you?
No, I mean, again.
I'm Daniel Day-Lewis's half-sister.
No,
he's a handsome guy.
Is he?
He had to make it. Think about it. Did he make himself better looking or ugly to play Lincoln?
Mm.
Have you seen Daniel Lewis without the makeup? No, he's a handsome guy.
I have no idea how to determine these things.
He put a mole on.
I have no idea how to determine these things.
That mole had a personality.
You know what I told him?
It had its own weather system.
You know what I told my friend? I said, here's what I do know.
Okay.
I said, you're probably right that we'll talk about ugly dudes.
Yeah.
Because we think we're ugly dudes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm some looker.
Right.
I just am saying, like,
an ugly
Abraham
dude,
Lincoln was also a homely guy.
When you're an ugly dude, you think it's okay to talk about ugly dudes.
Yeah.
And that may not be, I don't know.
Well, this is kind of over the air, so it's like they can't see us. But, yeah, I told Curry that today because I didn't shave today. And I said, I should have shaved. Mm. She said, you look okay. I said, I look homeless. She goes, you don't look homeless. I said, I look like a guy who was homeless 2 days ago, and somebody took me in, and they said, just wear these clothes till we get you something better.
Gotcha.
That's what I look like. Just put on these old clothes of my dad's.
Right.
Then we'll go get you something better. I'll be like, oh, thanks. And then I'm so excited to have these.
Yeah.
That's my outfit, usually every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shaved. I mean... I have a beard.
You shaved your head.
I shaved my neck. I get the neck beard.
Why don't people just grow a full neck? I don't.
You don't grow neck beard.
You don't?
Do you not? Have a beard.
I know. I just have a goatee.
But it doesn't grow on your neck?
It does. But I'm saying, are there people that just let it all grow?
You know what I want you to do?
Yeah.
I want you to grow the goatee neck beard. Keep shaving on the sides. Take it all the way down like the Adam's
apple. Just only grow the neck. What if you did that? I thought about just only growing my cheek hair. You know the little tufts of hair that are like whiskers that come out like a cat? Just grow those, like a Klingon. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be great.
Anyway, sorry if we offend anybody. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forget the mics are on. We're just having fun. We talk like we would around the table. And maybe we are a little bit too loose with our words. I don't mean to harm somebody.
I don't think that it was more of a question. It wasn't that he was offended.
Do you think you went too far?
Yeah. In light of all the other conversations we have, because there's certain things we wouldn't say.
Right.
Like okay, where is the line? Is it okay to talk about Abraham Lincoln not being a good looking dude? You know, and I never even thought of that question. So I'm trying to be open to the questions regardless of where they lead us. So, so I thought, Johnny, that we would end our time today.
Okay.
With going to our special segment, Ask John and Johnny.
All right, that's right. We had that. Have you got that music queued up? Yeah, but before then, I was going to say about the Abraham Lincoln thing again too, and the ugly thing. Like, I don't think it's important that, like, I think it's a non-issue of whether you empirically say somebody's attractive or not because they're the president. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's probably better. He's probably better equipped to be the president if he's not distracted and hung up on his looks.
Yeah.
Don't you agree with that?
I don't know. I mean, that's like saying that success trumps looks.
Why did you say Trump?
Oh, that was completely inadvertent.
What about Trump's looks?
Here's the soundbite that ended my political career.
No, you're fine.
No, listen, I don't have a political career.
No, you don't.
But, no, I think that – let me ask you this. What? Can you be the is being the president, does that make you successful?
It makes you the most powerful man in the world.
But does that make you successful?
You're famous. Here's the deal. I think that a president who is really attractive, along with having the most power probably in the world, it can be really – it can lead to a lot of things. But, like, I don't know. I think that it's not important. Right. I think that – like, here's the thing. It's not – like, I put these things together on my website all the time or on Facebook to promote my shows. I put one out today or yesterday. Here's my upcoming shows, the dates and the cities, okay? And I look for these old photos. I want to find a photo of me that I'm making a funny face or whatever. I'm not hung up on, like, do I look great in this photo? Because I'm a comedian. It's not important. It's, I mean, I'm hung up a little bit on my looks because I'm a vain. I mean, I have some vanity. I'm on the keto. I'm doing all that. I'm on the keto diet, whatever. I'm trying to lose some weight. So there is some hung up. There is some hang up a little bit with attraction. But it's not important to my job.
Right.
If somebody said Johnny's just kind of an average Joe, he's a plain looking guy, it would not bother me. It has nothing to do with my capability to do my job. In fact, most people agree, if you're a comedian, that being good looking is an impediment because you lose relatability.
Well,
you
lose likability. That's the main reason I haven't done it.
Yeah, because you get up there, they're going to be like, I could never be like this guy.
I can't receive from this guy.
All this, and he's funny? Get out of here with that.
Yeah. That's what I've been told my whole life.
Yeah.
You're not funny because you're too good looking. I mean, Johnny, if I heard it once.
It was just that one.
It was that
one. It was
one
when
time.
You said it.
Right then was the first time.
You heard it.
If I had a dime, that was it.
In your own ears, along with Sadie's crunching.
Right.
All right, let's get to Ask Johnny and John.
Yeah. Jazz hands.
That's a lovely piece of music.
Oh, what was that?
It's like a little digital artifact left over from it.
It says, I find myself in the presence of quite a few people who may not believe in God. What do you think or have struggled? What do you guys think is the best way to approach people who have been really burnt by the church or who don't believe in any kind of God whatsoever, much less the gospel, which they have heard, they've all heard before and rejected sometime in the past?
Yeah.
So... interesting. I mean, again, I think I'm writing a book with my buddy Mike Burnett, who's a pastor, and it's about what the real, like, mission, if you want to use that word, of the church actually is. And he talks a lot about the parable of the sower and how – and it's just a really brilliant idea that in farming, the seed is the cheapest part.
Right.
Like you can have a whole bag of, you can do a whole huge field with like $10 worth of seed. Like it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And if you're a family owned farm, then the labor is really free. And it's, but where you drop hundreds of thousands of dollars into the process is the preparation of the soil.
Right.
Like that's the real problem is the turning over of the soil and getting it all ready. And so he talks about that. Look, this, when you use this term gospel, this message about Jesus, which we need to get right. If it's right, it works all the time because Jesus is the one working in it. Just like a seed, you don't make a seed grow.
Yeah.
You just provide opportunity for it to grow. And then those who are, you know, whether it's everybody who's supposed to be believers should be spreading that seed. I mean, we're all farmers. It's not hard. It's just in your life. You know, that's what the Bible says. He scattered it. Like this farmer was just throwing it, you know. It's the condition of the ground. And Jesus says in that passage, that's the condition of people's hearts. That's really the difference maker.
Yeah.
And so Mike's point is that the real work of the church, we act like it's about so many things, but it really should be making room in people's hearts, whether it's the thorny or the stony or the hard places, like helping people's hearts have a place to hear that seed. Because I think to this question, those who are feeling like they've already heard it before, or there's damaging things that have happened in their past and the issues with the church, or they've been mistreated, and then you're dealing with hard ground, or you're dealing with maybe a place that doesn't have the depth right now to endure this conversation about what God's doing. And so I really believe, I mean, you can speak to it, but I think one, when you take out that idea that it's our, look, the seed is miraculous. All seeds are miraculous. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a corn seed is miraculous. It does what it does. You know, no one puts something in the ground, stands back and goes, says, I made tomato. Like, you know, you don't create that thing. You just make space for that miracle, you know, inside of our lives to happen. And so I think it's the same way here. I think that Jesus is at work. It's a great book called The Eternal Current that we are referencing some by Aaron Nequest, talking about what Jesus has been doing since the beginning of time already. And our mm-hmm. job is just to become aware and to get into what he is doing. It's not all this. I used to pray, God, would you work in everything I'm working on? And now I pray, God, would you let me work on everything you're working in? Like, instead of asking him to come to whatever right. I'm doing, why don't I figure out what Jesus is about and go try to get into that? And so in that, but realizing there's already something happening that God is doing in people's hearts, it's not requiring us, but we have this invitation or this role in it. And I think the biggest role is to create room and make space. And in many ways, making space is going to be doing what you're doing. And that's, hey, just being a friend, having real conversations and being not so defensive. I think sometimes we act like Jesus needs, you know, a defense attorney.
Yeah, like you're being personally attacked if somebody attacks some tenet of Christianity.
Yeah.
You feel like it's a personal attack. Yeah, and I mean, I do have friends that are agnostics or atheists, and they feel like it's foolish to believe in whatever. And yeah. So sometimes it is a personal attack. But generally speaking, I think if you meet somebody who's not been hurt by the church, they probably haven't gone deep enough.
Yeah.
They've probably not even really been in community.
Yeah.
Because I've been hurt in church a ton of times. I've been hurt out of church a ton of times.
Yeah.
People hurt people. And the church is no different. I mean, and some people think, well, it should be. We should hold church to a higher standard. I agree with that to some extent, but I just think it's messy sometimes. And it takes work. And you got to gauge your own expectations, too. It's like, I always tell people who are like, young and they're getting married, like I try to gauge what their expectations of marriage are. And I think church is similar. Like, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow when you're married? What do you think, you know? Because I think some people get married and they think, well, I'm going to be taken care of for the rest of my life. Or I'm going to be whatever. I mean, if you're a guy, you think, well, that's it. I've got this person and there's going to be, or you think you're going to have sex every night or whatever that thing is for you that you just think, that illusion. But if you can get manage your expectations sometimes of like, well, this is a broken group of people who all believe the same thing to some degree. We at least believe the same core things. And we're going to try to work this thing through together. We're going to do this together. But I think anything beyond that of like the church is going to take care of me or the church is never going to hurt me or the pastor's never going to say anything that challenges me or offends me. I think if you do that, you set yourself up to be hurt more than you probably should. But there are people who've been legitimately hurt, and I don't mean that. Right. I don't mean that at all. I know that. I mean, we have that going on right now with the Me Too movement. It's starting to, like, now we see the church stuff. Man, the abuse that happened in church. And, of course, Catholicism, it's a whole thing. I mean, that, what a can of worms that is. But even in evangelical circles of Protestant men where you see this patriarchy where the man is protected and let's squash this and the woman should just get on with it and just put up – it's like – there's been some people really hurt. And so I would say the first thing to do is just listen, because you can find out a lot and not just be, don't go into defensive mode, like you said, because before you ever let them finish saying what they're going to say about what, how they've been hurt. Because you need to know how to approach that situation, I guess.
No, absolutely. I love what you said about, number one, I mean, it's not lowering expectations. I think it's realizing expectations aren't accurate,
mm-hmm.
adjusting, managing those. The truth is, you said, yes, this is a broken group of people who believe the same thing. But the real thing that we miss is the power of what they believe is contingent upon their admission of brokenness.
Yeah.
Like it's that constant changing of one's mind of being, you know, not conformed to one way, but transformed by another. Like the real beauty of the community is supposed to be that they're aware of their brokenness and share it as Christ makes something beautiful out of the brokenness together. So when a church stops, when I say church, I mean people, when people, because of faith, begin to act as if or even verbally deny that there is a same level of brokenness. In fact, it was a tweet that we've talked about before, but I said it Sunday in the message. If you believe that there's someone in this world who needs Jesus more than you,
right,
then you've stepped over,
mm-hmm.
you know, outside of the intention of the real gospel. And I think that's that thing. The real church, it should be nearly impossible to accuse of hypocrisy, because the church was always proclaiming its brokenness in yeah. light of Christ's grace. So I think that's number one, manage the expectation, you know, and correcting that. If someone's struggling and they go, man, these people acted like this and that, then go, yeah, well, they shouldn't have done that. And that's that second thing. I know Keller talks about that a lot. Like when you say all the atrocities that have happened under the Catholic Church or throughout history, the Crusades and all these things, then – I think you have to point out that all of the pointing out of those atrocities and all of the change that came also from believers
yeah.
who stood up and said, hey, this is wrong. And because Christianity is not one, you know, monolithic group of people that think all the same thing. I mean, they ascribe to one belief system, but it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody in there is all equally responsible for everybody else yeah. in that crew. And so when Martin Luther King Jr. stands up as a believer and says, hey, this, you know, systemic racism and this is wrong.
Yeah.
And he did it from a biblical viewpoint to other people who claim they believe in the Bible. We have to say, well, yeah, the atrocities, we can't ascribe them all completely to like this distant one person called the church. Like there were people within who did those things, but there were also people within who stood up and called it out to say, no, this is not. So yes, we can own it and say, wow, that should have never happened. We yeah. don't have to defend the church. That should never happen because that was never what Jesus intended. It wasn't Jesus's way. And thank God other people who were Jesus's people also felt the same way and in their own lifetimes risked their life, often gave their life in order to stand up for what was right in that. And sort of that lack of defending, to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Call the gospel what it is. Call the church's true value. Point out her beauty. Be willing to point to the things that mask that beauty. If someone just wants to go off of it, like, well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. That shouldn't be happening. And that's not Jesus's best intention for his yeah. church. And it's okay to say that without condemning them or condemning the church.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no one good but God. And so we've made a lot of mistakes and a lot of messes. Sometimes owning it is a good first step.
Oh yeah.
Towards some of that, because it's like when you get defensive, it's like, okay, well, here's somebody who's just like an automaton. He's just going to say the party line or whatever. It's like, you go, no, we really screwed up there. Yeah, man, you were really hurt. And I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry your family was treated that way, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, when you say that's not the characteristics of Jesus though.
Yeah.
You know,
no, and I think that's, you know what, probably where we should have started. I mean, absolutely. You said it. Let's listen. Let's not be so quick to – most people just want someone to listen to them. We all want that.
Yeah.
And have some empathy, you know, it, regardless of trying to determine – I mean, someone's feelings are in many ways their version of reality, whether it's completely accurate, not accurate. It's accurate to them.
Yeah.
And – I'm not saying we own everything that's, you know, didn't happen or did happen, but we can at least listen and say, I acknowledge that obviously you're in pain or anger or whatever from this. And I just think that's always a good place to start in every relationship. So,
yeah.
Well, I think that interesting conversation. Thank you for the question. And be sure you guys send in more of those, and we'll be sure to do more talking about
that. So dumb. I used to hate when movies would reference the title of the movie in the movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I remember when there was a movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme. This was at the height of Jean-Claude Van Damme's fame, okay?
Jean-Claude.
When he was like, he was opening movies and he was the star of the movie and they would do well. There was one that he did that was, it was called Sudden Death.
Oh, no.
Okay. So he was a cop and there was somebody that was planning an assassination attempt during a hockey game. And so there, it's this whole thing and he sniffs it out and he's going to be there. Then at some point he's in the catwalk above the rafters in this huge arena where they're playing hockey. You can see all the players skating around below. And then they're going to do it. It's towards the end of the game and they go, the game has gone into sudden death. And there's like, boom, then the music kicks in. I was like, they just said that. It's so lame. They said the title of the movie. I just don't. So we didn't mean to do that, and I apologize.
But thanks for the question, for real.
And, yeah. Listen, subscribe, share
absolutely.
It, tell a friend.
What is your big prediction for the UT Florida game?
I think I hope we win. But it's hope. It's not. I don't have any confidence in this team, John. I'm sorry.
Well.
See, even when Florida is a worse team than us, they've had our number over the years.
Yeah.
So it's hard to ever get up for that game and feel like we got it this year.
Right. We've been hurt so many times.
Peyton Manning never beat the Gators. Do you understand me?
I know.
Peyton Manning never beat the Gators in 4 years.
Right.
What else do you got? That's the only statistic you need to say that they were in his head, because we were better than some of those teams.
Oh, we were a lot better. I mean, they were good. They won it in 96.
We had Peyton Manning.
Listen, man. Peyton Manning's human too, bro. Don't put the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He's just a dude.
You think Peyton's ugly?
Listen, I don't.
We'll talk about it next week.
Well, I guess by the time that you hear us again, we will know the outcome.
We will have vanquished Florida.
Right.
And they will have fired their coach.
Let me ask
that's
you
what
this.
Happens when the Vols beat you.
Let
right?
me ask you this. Whenever, if we win, what sort of attitude will you have? Will you have wished you would have believed?
I'm tearing the V off the side of the stadium.
And,
I'm
riding
it down section like triple C or whatever section I'll be in.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to get badly injured.
So. You're going to be in Indiana?
I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina for 3 days doing what's called the D6 conference. It's a leadership conference. Lee Strobel, who wrote
Case for Christ.
Case for Christ.
A Case for Faith.
All
Case for a Creator.
Case. And so he's one of the keynotes there, so that'll be a fun one. And then I'm jumping on a plane to fly to Dayton, Ohio to be with the Tim Hawkins tour. I have 3 days with him. So it's 6 days in a row I'm gone.
Hey, can I tell you something about Tim Hawkins?
Yeah.
You're going to laugh. So I've never listened to the audiobook of Diary of a Jackwagon.
The book you co-wrote?
Yes. Because, I mean, why would I?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But you finally did.
But while I was sitting, we had volleyball. It was two tournaments back to back.
Yeah.
And so on Sunday, I missed the morning because I was at church. Got there and everything, and then we hung out. She was there from 8 in the morning and got home at 8 that night.
That's too much. Parents, stop doing this to your kids.
No, it was great. She actually won a tournament. It was great.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was great. And so, but I was sitting there, and it was between games. She was reffing and not playing, and so I just popped the earpiece in, and so I was going to look at one of the books and iBooks, and I was like, oh, look, I have that. I forgot I have that audiobook. Bro, he was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, like the book.
He delivers it like he's delivering a stand-up,
yes,
probably.
Andrew told me, he's like, dude, the audiobook, you know, is so much better than the written book. I was like, well, thanks a lot. You know, like it's very, but he's right.
But it makes sense because you were kind of using a lot of his bits in the book.
Well, yeah, but he does, even the things that like I had, you know, put around his bits.
He made them funnier than you did.
Well, because he would be like, he does his little characters and his voices and his pauses and a lot of his... You know, like he does, like you've never heard any of these things in an audiobook, and then his songs are in there as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Often we inserted the song lyrics, but then on the audiobook, they use the track.
Oh, that's cool.
So he'll pitch it. I'm telling you, man, Diary of a Jackwagon. I actually, because I don't remember. It was 2013, 14? I don't remember.
A long time ago.
I don't remember stuff.
You still had hair.
Oh, my gosh.
The shadow was but a glimmer.
It was a spiky
mess.
But I'm telling you, I was laughing. So anyway, and I texted him, you know, I said, dude, you were really funny reading that book. So
what did he say? He texted you back?
He did.
Oh, that's cool.
He said, thanks for the kind words. Hope you're well. Everything. So he sent me a funny, like, meme or something first.
That's good. If he hadn't responded, it'd been a weird change. So did he write back? He still hasn't.
He doesn't.
He totally.
He was very gracious. It was great.
That's
so
cool.
Anyway, so hey, it's great. It's great to hang out with you again, John.
Yeah,
glad you're home, and we will hopefully have another one coming next week for all of our listeners out there.
Yeah, when I get back, we'll do another one of them.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time on
Talk About That.
God kept calling my heart. Like, I just knew he was my safe place.
I hope people don't walk away going, wow, you're really awesome. More than like, wow, Jesus is really interesting. And he's really awesome.
Everybody on this planet is dealing with some sort of what if.
How does that one courageous decision affect the whole world?
A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for.
If you were encouraged by what you just heard, please search Trevor Talks on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com.